This is Like Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The people who work at big businesses and corporate jobs in the greater Milwaukee area are overwhelmingly white. Even before protests over racial inequity and social justice began, the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce had set out to change that. But some of MMAC's past policies have set up roadblocks and added to the disenfranchisement of low-wage black and brown workers in the area. WUWM's Latoya Dennis spoke to Tim Sheehy, president of the MMAC, about those previous policies and the efforts that are underway to increase black and brown representation in Milwaukee's workforce.
2018 is the most recent effort that we've initiated when our board identified racial disparity as the biggest barrier for the region. And we commissioned an update on some work that we've done, and we looked at 20 peer regions. And the prospects, the prosperity measures for black and brown people in Milwaukee in the region here were at the bottom of those 20 peer regions. And we had the widest gap between white, black, and brown disparity in Metro Milwaukee. And so I think the evidence is unequivocal that there are tremendous disparities here in the region. They're holding us back, both as companies who want to compete and attract the best talent, and it impacts us as a community in terms of a place to live, work, play, and learn. And so what we did coming out of that those findings was we recruited 1,200 black and brown managers from area companies, and they responded to a survey, then a series of focus groups, to identify some of the challenges and issues in corporate Milwaukee. And we use those findings in part to launch an effort we're calling the Region of Choice. And so if we're going to compete globally, if we're going to have high value jobs and a vibrant quality of life for all, we want to make sure that the region is a region of choice for all. And so the goal of this effort is to grow the percentage of black and brown management talent in our companies by 25% over the next 5 years and grow overall employment by 15%. And to date, we have about 107 companies that have signed the pledge, employing about 141,000 people in the region. So it's by no means an answer, but it's a pretty good start down the path to make some determined progress on an issue that's just been very, very challenging.
So are these new concerns for the MMAC?
Well, you know, I've gone back, not that I've been here since 1968, but I've gone back to look at our board notes in 1968, coming out of the summer of 1967, and the loss of Martin Luther King Jr. and the March for Fair Housing in Milwaukee. And I can go back at least that far in our records and identify the racial disparities, the racism as an issue that has been embedded in Milwaukee going back at least that far. So this is an issue where we've made some progress, but clearly not enough. But it's been an issue, I think, that's been important to the business community for quite some time.
And Tim, to your knowledge, is this the first time that the MMAC has taken on the disparities between black and brown and white people in the greater Milwaukee area?
No, I mean, I think this issue, when you unpack it, both the racial disparity and the issue of racism, it's got a thread of housing, it's got a thread of education, it has a thread of employment, it has some systemic barriers in the community and in companies. So I think in one way or another, we've been working on parts of this for a long time, probably most deeply engaged in the areas of education and economic development. But no, it's not an issue that's new, even though this region of choice effort is a new way to focus the lens of the business community on closing this racial divide.
Do you believe that any of the previous stances that the MMAC has taken has helped to increase some of the disparities that we see here? For example, the MMAC supported right to work legislation and was not in favor of a paid sick leave ordinance in the city of Milwaukee.
Yeah, so I think let's take the two issues. First of all, let's take right to work. Wisconsin had not been a right to work state. It now is. And I think we've seen some significant economic growth. If I look over the past 5 years, just on the work that we've done through Milwaukee 7, we've attracted 46 corporate expansion projects to the region that have created almost 11,000 new jobs and a payroll of $670 million that go along with about another $1.9 billion in capital investment. And these are jobs that pay 20% above the average wage in the region. So I think that has helped to make Wisconsin a more attractive place to invest and create jobs and economic opportunity. I think it's led to the economic resurgence that we've seen, not detracted from it. And the issue of paid sick leave, again, I think the vast majority of our members have some form of paid sick leave. What we were opposed to at the time was an ordinance that the city of Milwaukee was proposing to create 9 days of paid sick leave in the city only. And our concern was that it would create a barrier in the city for companies that would move out. And there were some extraneous issues, I think, related to who that applied to. If a company had a truck driving through Milwaukee making deliveries, then that company was subject to the rules. So I just think it was a clumsy way to implement, I think, what today most employers recognize as a valuable part of their compensation package in terms of paid sick leave.
But not necessarily when it comes to the low-wage jobs where Black and Hispanic workers are highly concentrated, correct?
Yeah, and I think the challenge here is that for many employers, I think that have wages on the starting end of the scale, they're trying to balance their entire compensation package and still be able to provide a going concern or a going business. So again, I think those companies that have the ability to do it because it's a good way to recruit and retain employees. And those that don't have as much a robust package, don't have the margin or don't have the business capability to do it. It's not because they don't want to. It's because their business economics are challenged by providing that. And again, we don't have a lot of, we do have restaurants that are members, but again, most of our members are paying wages significantly above the minimum wage and have robust packages to compete for talent.
What's the average wage for your employers?
Yeah, I would say that the median wage or the average wage for our employers is probably significantly above what the median or average for the region is. So if it's $45,000, I would say that the median wage for our members is going to be closer to $50,000 or $60,000.
So what percentage of Black and Hispanic people are employed by your members?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the EEOC data, it's roughly for the African-American population, I think it's around 10%, and I think 7% for Hispanic. So not where it should be, not where it needs to be. And I think the issue for employers, it's an important issue in terms of having a diverse workforce. It's the right thing to do. It's an imperative that workplaces are more diverse and more hospitable than they are today. But I think it's also a necessity. If you look at the workforce population, working age population in Wisconsin, it grows by less than 1% between now and 2040. And if you look at where the population growth is, particularly the city of Milwaukee, 73% of the city's population under the age of 19 are people of color. So it's not only an imperative in terms of being the right thing to do, but it's also an economic imperative. If you're going to hire as an employer, if you're going to grow, your workplace, your culture has to be inclusive, or you're cutting yourself off from a significant part of our future and current workforce.
Now, you said 10% for Black and 7% for Latinx. Why so low?
Well, I think there are probably a number of reasons. I think there have certainly been historically and probably still today some systemic barriers to hiring companies that aren't as inclusive as they need to be. They don't have workplaces that are inclusive. So that's a barrier. And I think then the other barrier is preparedness. If you take 20 high school freshmen in the city of Milwaukee, largely Black and Brown, and you follow that high school cohort through high school and 6 years after it would graduate from high school, only two of those 20 have a two-year or four-year degree. And so we have a real disservice to our to people of color in the city in terms of too few getting through with the educational skills needed to enter the workforce and needed to continue to move up the ladder. So that's a big issue the community has to address, and the business community is part of the responsibility for doing that. So we need to put more people of color in a position where they have the education and the skill sets to take advantage of the kinds of jobs that are here in the economy today.
Overall, what percentage of the population here actually has a college degree?
The percentage of the adult population with a college degree is close to 36 or 37%.
And what about recruitment from other places?
Yeah, and I think it's an important part of this. But again, Milwaukee and Wisconsin does not have a net migration. We have more people moving out than moving in. So recruiting talent here is important. But I think the first thing we have to do is to develop, retain, and advance the talent that we have, the diverse talent that we have. And then part of the solution, of course, is recruiting people to Milwaukee. And that's why it's so important that corporations have a better track record, have a more diverse workforce than they do. And we also improve the disparity in the community because it is very challenging to recruit and retain if you don't see your future in the community and you don't look up the ladder in a company and see people that look like you in higher positions in the company. So both of those are continuing obstacles to recruiting and retaining the diverse talent that we need.
Finally, I wonder if you believe the MMAC is doing enough when it comes to helping build up Black entrepreneurs and business owners.
No, the short answer is we're not. We need to do more, and we're engaged very closely with the Hispanic Collaborative, with the African American Leadership Alliance, with the Business Council, which is an ethnically diverse business group. We support those organizations. We've done a lot around supplier diversity, but we're not doing enough. And what tells me we're not doing enough is of the businesses, of the 25,000 businesses in the region that you can identify by race, only 3% are African-American owned and only 2% are Hispanic or Latino owned. And so we are clearly not doing what we need to do to develop small growing businesses and entrepreneurs that can become larger employers in the region. And so while I think we're doing a lot, we're not doing enough, and we have a long way to go to improve the business climate for diverse business owners and entrepreneurs.
Tim Sheehy is the president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. He spoke with WUWM's Latoya Dennis.